millennium after millennium. Why do we have more to read? How many times in your life have you heard this story? It's in all the synoptics, asking why the disciples of Jesus don't fast, and the answer, and then the little parable, it's all, right? Why do we have something new? Well, one of the reasons is, of course, these are the words of the Son of God. And nobody has plumbed their depths yet. We hear them, yeah, that's right. Well, I got to be careful about that, or I got to do that, or, you know, I got to be new wine skin for the new wine. What difference is that going to make in your day to day? You've just heard the word of God. Now, what difference is it going to make? Can you think already of some place where your old wine skins and the wine of the gospel just won't go? Where in your life will this beautiful new wine of the gospel just not go, won't fit, won't be contained, won't? That is in the other parables, the other explanation. The fermenting of this new wine, its energy is vivid, you know, it's going to explode your old wineskin. It's just a thought, you know, because see how we have to be so careful every day. Wake ourselves up again, right? Otherwise, we go through a whole day starting with this incredible gift of the Mass and the Word of God and the Eucharist. And you see what I mean? It's still a gift, and the Lord still loves to give it to it, and it's not without fruit. But considering what it could be, that's why we sing. That's why we, you see, to help us get into this. Actually, I'm going to preach for a little time left on the first reading, but I read that and I thought, how many times have I heard this? And has it ever impacted my life? Do I ever walk out of here saying, I have got to be a new container for the gospel? My attitudes, my habits, my outlook, my goals, they're going to explode under the pressure of this new life unless I try to contain it or ignore it. Or anyway, let's try for just a minute to look at this. We're in the letter to the Colossians, and this would be a passage that you could mull over a lot. We're talking about our Jesus, the one who in under the substance of bread and wine will be right here with us to bless us, to strengthen us, to bring us to eternal life, to guide us for all that is ahead in this very turbulent world we live in. Here he is. And who is he? He's the image of the invisible God. He makes God visible. Second, I guess, because he's a man, and every man, every human being is the image of God. But he's the image of God from all eternity. He's the perfect, since God the Father poured himself out totally within the depths of the Trinity from all eternity. Jesus is that person, that image. So his image quality, you see, reflects through him. The ones who got to know him as he walked around must have been enthralled. You know, you're with somebody who's beginning to really mature in the Christian life, and they surprise you all the time, don't they? They just don't fit into our little categories, don't they? What about walking around with Jesus, seeing his reaction to things? Suppose you were there when they brought that woman caught in adultery, and all the crowds, you know, backs off, and a stoning is a horrible thing. And wait to see what Jesus is going to say. And he stands there and he says what he says, and they all go away. This is Jesus. In him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, thrones, dominations, principalities, or powers, all the angels, good and bad. All were created through him and for him. So who is he? You see, this is Christ Jesus. He is before all things. And in him, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we will receive in the Eucharist in a few minutes, in him all things hold together. This whole universe holds together by him, as God and as man. Try that one out. I suppose you had to teach this stuff, you know. Just think. How do you explain that to your students? In him, all things hold together. He is the Logos. The Greeks thought of the Logos as that deep, immanent principle holding the whole universe together. It's ratio, it's reason, the reason why it is, you see. That's one of the reasons why John took the term. No, the Logos is not some immanent principle in the cosmos. He's the very Son of God himself. But he does hold the universe together. You see. For in him, all the fullness, he's going to say later on, all the fullness of the divinity was pleased to dwell. Now this is the mystery. And through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross. This eternal God, the one in whom the whole universe holds together, is the one who poured out his blood for us. When you come to a text like this, stop and pray. And say, Lord, I get the words, here they are. And I got to take them seriously. What do they mean? What do they mean? Making peace by the blood of his cross through him, whether on earth or in those in heaven, all things reconciled to the Father by the blood of the cross of the very Logos of God.